Everyone, hi, hello. Welcome to another exciting episode of Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. I'm sitting here in my studio with my husband, Daniel, who just burped, but he blew it away from the podcast.
I tried to not include it, but you must acknowledge everything that happens.
I'm sorry. I am like a security camera. I record all. And then I present it to people in like a grainy, spotty kind of ultimately not helpful way.
Have you ever watched live security cam footage?
No, have you?
It's boring. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, land your point.
There's no point, honey.
Daniel, I have something to say to you.
You can eat a big old bag of dicks, eat a big old bag of dicks, eat a big old bag of dicks, eat a bag of dicks, eat a bag of, eat a bag of, eat a bag of dicks. Hey.
I don't know why that didn't sweep the nation like we thought it would. I mean, I guess we never sold it.
Do you remember why that even, that was like very early.
You mean who specifically podcasting. You wanted to be chowing a bag
like,
of
why
dicks?
Why was I creating eat a bag of dicks chants and pins and... Like there's a whole movement.
I know. And
I don't remember
they
why.
Sell gummy dicks and a lot of people send them to me constantly. Like, sorry, send images of them to me constantly.
Maybe
like,
when
look.
I started on the podcast, there was a portion of the audience that was
anti-Dan,
was talking lots of shit. And so I had this kind of, fuck you attitude about it.
Is that who that was for? Because I wondered if it might have been for
know.
The Russian woman that you worked with that didn't.
No,
she was
no, no,
also
no.
not
was
a
later.
Dan fan.
No, that she came later.
Also joining us is Wendy. You might hear her. She's trying to make a bed on a blanket that's in the corner, and there's a lot of snorting and a lot of just Wendiness happening.
I don't think they can hear that, though.
Well, let us know. Did you hear it? Yes, no.
Don't let me know.
All the ways.
Don't just let Allison know.
Yeah. So here we are. It's a rare Saturday recording.
Yeah.
And Daniel, before we recorded, you were reading something on your phone and I was looking at you and I was thinking, but now I realize it's because you are reading something on your phone. But generally, I'd say for the last 25 minutes, I've been like, this guy wants to be anywhere but near me. Now,
oh,
I know
no.
that typically...
I mean, yes, but no. I mean, no more than usual, I guess I would say.
Yeah, I felt like it had come to a head. Which, right. by the way, come to a head is kind of... When you hear come to a head, what do you think of?
That you're floating around and then you finally bump into a giant head.
You finally come to another head, yeah.
But a head that's like... Where the size of the head is the size of the length of your body.
Oh, like a
like
huge
a head.
Head.
Yes, that's what it means, right?
Are you sure they can't hear that?
That they may have heard. Let Allison know.
This is like, you know, normally dogs circle a couple times before they poop.
This is more of a create a nest sort of behavior.
Yeah, but,
it takes some effort.
But it's similar to the energy that she brings to finding the perfect spot to poop. Because she does like circle eights. And I mean, she'll like circle a lot in one spot and then she'll be like, no, and go to another one. Mm. Like, I feel like she's not going to settle down for the whole podcast.
No, she will. It just takes a while. I mean, she may... She'll either settle down or she'll go to the door. She's either going to give up entirely or give up. And yep, there she goes to the door.
All right.
Well, no, I don't know what she's doing.
Live commentary,
oh,
guys.
My God,
if only we had a Wendy cam.
She decided on the hard floor.
The hard wood-like floor.
I think that blanket's an electric blanket.
Yes, it's not plugged in though.
It's got
no one worry
wires in it. So it may not be... as comfortable as a normal blanket.
Right, it's not as comfortable as the hard floor.
Anyway, this is good stuff. This is a good show, honey. I'm glad. I'm happy to have done this with you.
Let's get back to your general vibe. Oh, so yeah. On a recent Patreon, we really dug into the fact that you were in a bad mood.
Yeah.
And that you truly didn't want to be on mic or near me. And I thought, oh, this is going to, people are going to be uncomfortable hearing all this because it's going to make them, you know, who wants to listen to awkward, like, tension? Right. But a lot of people reached out to say that they felt like it was very real.
There you go. See, I'm like a truth cannon.
But now I'm bringing that same vibe to the main show to say, you're not feeling any sort of like, God, I can't stand this bitch.
No.
Your turn, bitch.
My mom's in town. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to get like a full night's sleep for the first time in like a while. And woke up. You know how, does this ever happen where you get like a decent amount of sleep and then you just like need so much more sleep?
Yes. And people will say sleeping too much makes you groggy. And I don't know if they say that anymore. Growing up, I would hear that. I think no. It means you're still tired. You haven't gotten enough.
Like I still need to catch up on sleep.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, I've been feeling sort of just like I could just go right back to sleep. Mm. And when I'm in this kind of tired-ish state of mind, not exhausted, mm-hmm. like I can do this. This is fine. I'll get like hyper-focused. Mm-hmm. So I'll get like fixated, like locked in mm-hmm. kind of. And there were just a couple things that I was reading, and it's that combined with the fact that like with fucking Instagram, which is what this was, but also Threads, it's like, if there's something you want to read, you better read it then because you can't fucking close your phone
no,
and open it
refresh.
Back up to that. It refreshes and you lose
yeah.
it. And so there, it creates this feeling of like, I got to finish reading this now or mm-hmm. I'll never see it again unless mm-hmm. I like take a screen grab. But I have so much garbage in my photos.
Right.
I'm trying not to do that as much. So that's all it was. It's truly nothing personal. I mean, it's personal in the sense that it's me and it's my psychology, but it's not towards you. I wasn't even thinking about you, which may be a problem.
Yeah, I take that personally.
Yeah, you should.
You know, oftentimes I lament my inability to put my phone down. And I think it has to do with like, oh, I'm locked into, you know, fighting with haters or this or not, yeah, haters or this or that or blah, blah, blah. And then I think it was Kurt Braunohler or was it his wife or was it neither of them? Said something about these apps are designed to be addictive.
Yeah.
And then I thought, yeah, it's not my fault.
The addictive part of it is that feeling of like, yes, I can't, but I, what about the next thing?
Right.
What about the
and
next thing?
And it is, it's that dopamine hit you get that
I
you're
try
chasing.
To avoid that part of it. I try to be conscious of that part of it. But what, the one thing that gets me that I have a hard time with is I'll scroll past something. This is probably just me or everyone, but it's like, I'll scroll past something that I can tell right away I don't have any interest in, or maybe I've watched a couple seconds of a video and I'm like not interested in, and then my brain will be like,
yes, I
you
have that.
Cannot
yeah
even though that you know how that's gonna end and you know that video is not gonna yield anything interesting, or you know that you're not interested in any of it, you must read it. You must read it. You mm-hmm. must read it. You must read it. And
oh,
it's like,
you
I'll
have
just,
you must read it
or you must finish it.
Okay. Because I have a you must scroll. I
have to go back
this.
And finish the video or read it, even though yeah. the whole time I'm reading it, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Why? But it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's a compulsive mm-hmm. thing that happens in my brain.
I do the scroll back on live snake feedings, which I find the whole thing like, I don't want it. Why is it serving it to me?
You get live snake feedings
yes.
on your algorithm? At least I don't get that.
I get a lot of Instagram live, not Instagram live, TikTok lives, and it's like someone feeding a snake. And it's always like a snake with like a tail hanging out of its mouth. And then I'm like, And then I'm like, wait, what was that? And I go back for a second.
My TikTok algorithm is very pleasant.
Oh, you're so lucky.
I don't really do TikTok a lot. But when I do, it's like I've curated that at least to be pleasant. It's not all of my interests. Mm-hmm. But it's at least like either funny or interesting. You know, like, oh, okay. Yeah, I'm enjoying this. My Threads algorithm is all stuff that makes me angry.
Yes, same.
And like, I can only think like, and I've heard this, that the companies actually design it that way. That Facebook, Meta, their strategy, their philosophy is to keep you pissed as a way of engaging you, as opposed to TikTok, which is more interest-based.
I think in that movie, The Social Network,
which I haven't seen. Oh wait, the
documentary, oh, not yeah, the actual, you know, with yeah. With Pete Campbell. I think that's what they were saying.
Like, I mean, that outrage is the thing. I can, like, even stupid shit. Like, I haven't seen Dune 2, but I fully intend to. I just want to wait until I can, you know, go. And it's all like annoying opinions about Dune 2. It's like, why does it know, first of all, I have any interest in this?
Yeah.
But then it's like constantly serving me up this stuff. It's like, I didn't sign up on for this. What the fuck?
When you go to sleep, I go in and I type Dune 2.
No, it's just weird. Like, it just finds, I think maybe wherever there's like little points of conflict, it amplifies that. Mm-hmm. And then if you have any interest in anything like surrounding it, it'll like magnetize towards your feed. Anyway.
So tell me, what were you looking at?
I was reading a Instagram post by the brand new superstar member of the Vanderpump Rules.
Oh.
Joe.
Oh, Joe, whatever.
What does she call this? Joe, not Joe for real. It's Joe.
That's So Joe or something? The Schwartz potential girlfriend.
Schwartz as well. Friends with benefits. They're not seeing each other now. She has a funny Joe, my gosh. the board hates her. The board, the Reddit hates her. I don't exactly know why, except maybe they're just like Katie stans and they just hate her because she moved in so fast with Schwartz. I find her delightful. Just goofy.
I can't decide how I feel about her.
I mean,
so,
I'm sure if in person, I wouldn't want to know her, but I find her very entertaining to watch. She's nuts in a way that seems harmless, but who knows, you know, on that show. Anyway,
Katie, now I know some people are like, we don't watch Vanderpump. Who are these people? We'll make this fast.
Yeah, we'll just make it fast.
Katie tweeted something last year saying that like she has terrible energy and she's a creep and everyone hates her and blah, 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 blah.
Was she the one that called her crackhead energy?
Yes. And so... Then I began to see that after the last episode
These
of Vanderpump Rules.
They go hard.
After the last episode of Vanderpump Rules, people were like, Katie was right. I'll never doubt her again.
I didn't
but then,
see it.
No, I didn't either. But I'm wondering if it's because we went in with such, with certain expectations. And then she was like a little odd, but it wasn't over the top. Because I did see people saying things like, what's with Joe? People who weren't aware of the Joe commentary. Yeah. They were like, what's going on with her? She just seems to be...
Well, people are like, oh, she's high. You know, that's why
she has a lot of like over gesticulation. It's like she's having a conversation with someone that's not on screen.
But she also behaves like a Kristen Wiig character. Like she'll do that. Like she does these faces. And
yes,
like,
she's very campy.
It's very... But that's... that's fun.
Like, it's actually exhausting in real life.
No, no.
That's the energy that Katie's talking about.
Oh, well... I'm talking about this as a TV show.
Okay. I'm talking about this like these are my friends.
Like, there are two ways to look at these people. Mm-hmm. One as characters on a TV show, and one as, like, would I want to hang out with these people? And I don't think there's a single one that I would want anywhere near my circle of friends.
You're saying as from a viewer standpoint.
Yeah, like, and so, Katie is... I think Katie was in love with Tom and she was really hurt by his cheating. And so she's really like the breakup was really hard for her.
What cheating?
Schwartz cheated on her.
Like nonstop?
I think.
I know we saw it.
I don't know
a couple
nonstop,
times.
But like he did several times as far as I can, from what I've heard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that she was just really having a hard time with the breakup and like the fact that he moved out and 2 weeks later, like Joe moved in.
Right.
You know,
she asked for the divorce though, right?
Yeah, but because of his behavior, he clearly didn't respect her or want to be in the marriage. So, like, even though she asked for it, it's not because she You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of that judgment of Joe is probably like coming from that point of view. That said, Kristen, who may or may not be the most well-balanced person. I don't know. I don't know Kristen. Mm-hmm. From the show, she seemed crazy, but then it could be a sexist edit, you know, mm-hmm. and certainly her friend who was here, I asked her.
Yeah.
Rachel, I asked her, mm-hmm. is Kristen crazy? And mm-hmm. she looked offended. That's a hell of a thing to ask.
Gee, I wonder why.
About your actual friend instead of a TV character on TV. But I did ask it because I am weird. And she said, no, she's not crazy.
Well, I will say this.
So I don't know. But anyway, Kristen, who was best friends with Joe, stopped being friends with Joe and says that Joe's crazy. So if... So I take it for what, but again, that could be, who cares?
Well, I have one thing to say, and I believe I've said this before. However, do you remember Kelly Ben Simone from, okay, listen, I feel like I'm losing the people who are like,
stay with
I
us
don't watch. We're about to change the subject. I have a
winning
big,
lottery numbers in a minute.
Yes. And we're going to tell you the meaning of life. We have a snack chat sitting next to me that I don't know if I can do because thinking about it makes me want to throw up. And I have a bombshell to drop. Bombshell.
Whoa.
The fuck was I saying before that though?
No, I know, clue.
Oh yeah, I know. Oh, you know who, do you know who Kelly Ben Simone is? So she was on Real Housewives of New York. It
okay,
doesn't matter.
I don't know who that is.
She came off as like very weird and incompetent and kind of just erratic and strange. I didn't personally know her well, but when I worked at Page Six magazine, she was like a columnist at Page Six magazine. She was someone that they turned to as a fashion expert frequently. And I was writing a fashion story and they gave me her name, like contact her. She can help you find these people. And she was perfectly professional, competent, nothing weird or erratic. She seemed like a solid person, not this kind of cartoon that's on Bravo. So to that, I say so much of it can have to do with editing.
But also like it could be editing. It could be that, you know, she's had a few drinks before they started shooting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, if you only saw me when I was buzzed, you would have a different impression of me than... You know,
yes,
you do.
Although you actually aren't very different when you're drunk, but point taken.
It's been a while since I've been like really drunk. I can be pretty goofy. Like I tend to be sort of a silly drunk. Mm. But like, she could be nervous. You know, how you are on camera, you don't know how you're going to come off on camera until you see it. But regardless, who cares?
I stopped caring.
Yeah, it's nothing to care about. Well, it actually is something to care about so you don't have to care about other things. It's like a drug.
Mm.
Because like I said, my fucking Threads algorithm, that is a fucking bummer and a half, that thing.
Yeah. Let's listen to a call.
Hi, Allison and Daniel. This is Isaac from New York City. And I'm calling about my favorite drop on the show. Well, I don't know if it's my favorite drop, but it's one that I wish I heard more often, which is the, like, sound file that Jeff made to simulate what it was like when Daniel ate the pot cookie. It's probably the best episode ever of your show, and every time I hear that drop, I think about how amazing that story and that episode is. So I would really love to hear that. Okay, this has been Isaac from New York City.
Well, thank you for calling, Isaac. You ask, I provide.
Oh, boy.
See, Daniel.
See, Daniel.
See, Daniel.
Okay.
See, Daniel.
See, Daniel. How long are we going to be late because he's big?
Fucking dead horses.
You look like you've been chilling box, man.
it wasn't that far off.
That was what a boon that happened to you, that you accidentally ate a pot cookie.
I mean, I can appreciate, you know, the value of it, but it was not fun.
No. And then remember the next morning you were still high?
Yeah, man, that thing, like, Jesus Christ, I am such a lightweight when it comes to THC. I mean, big time.
And was it you who asked in the middle of it, why do animals have butts?
I think that something like that. I mean, it's all a haze.
Yeah. And then
I was thinking about fish. And why don't fish have butts?
Yeah.
They just have holes. But it's because they don't have... I don't know what my theory was, but I feel like what I believe now is it has to do with sitting.
Oh, interesting.
It's a cushion. It's like a built-in, you know, seat cushion.
Right. Is there any animal that has a badonkadonk that doesn't sit on it?
Right. Like, animals that don't have to sit don't have butts.
Right.
You know, like birds. They don't sit.
They do.
No, they don't.
Birds sit.
They sit?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe they have butts then. I don't know.
But dogs don't really have butts, and they sit, but not just on their butt.
I'm not a scientist.
You really sold it, and I went along with it.
Well,
now that I think about
it, I have to admit that I haven't given it a single moment's thought.
A single bit of sober thought.
High.
And then to me, what jumps out the most, I don't know, I've shared it before, is us driving to the restaurant and passing the West End, and you saying, I can't even begin to deal with that right now. I said, look, the West End. I can't even begin to deal with that right now.
It felt very heavy at that moment. I was like, it's too much.
I said, you don't have to do anything. And remember, you thought that the waiter was like way too intense about the menu.
Way into that restaurant. Like, way too enthusiastic. And then the seat backs were just like ridiculously high. I felt like I was in Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, not like, where we really were sitting, high. But there were some oversized seats a little bit far away.
Oh, man. The whole thing was miserable.
And I know you were disappointed because you had wanted to have, like, you had wanted to be there.
I wanted to be there. I was very much not there. I was, like, the whole dinner, my head in my arms. Like, I was fucked up. I was so gone. Yeah, that sucked. But, hey, what are you going to do?
Oh, well. Let's hear another one.
Hey, Allison and Daniel. This is Joe from Sherman Oaks. I have a just me or everyone. So when I'm driving and I pick my nose.
Gross.
Maybe I'm at a red light. And now I've got this booger between my fingers. So then I'll very subtly roll down my window, just kind of drop it out the window really casually, like I just needed some little fresh air, you know, just making as little finger motion as possible. Is that just me or is that everyone? This is Joe from Sherman Oaks. It should be less than a minute.
Thank you, Joe from Sherman Oaks.
I really try not to pick my nose in my car because I've seen too many people pick their nose in their car.
Mm-hmm.
No one's seeing them.
Exactly.
So I'm like, I always assume that someone can see me. So it's like, I wouldn't do it in my car unless.
What if you're like driving back from Vegas though? And
yeah,
no one
like
you
if
know.
There's nobody around, I might, you know, I might go for it. Go for gold. but the flicking thing out the window. Yeah. You got to be stealthy about that.
Cause they want to cling.
The thing is, if you're driving, that wind can take it off.
Mm.
You know, you could just.
But it might blow back into the car.
Well, not if you only have the front windows.
I guess so.
Open. Right. I once way back when I would smoke cigarettes.
Did you have one fling back in the car?
Yeah,
and what
burned a hole in the back seat. But I don't remember if it. Just bounced off the air and came back in,
or if you just came
through the back window, because I wasn't even aware that it happened until it was like, "What's that?" You know, I was so young though. I was probably like 19.
I never felt comfortable flicking cigarettes out the window for that reason.
Yeah, don't
I did
do it.
It a few times, but it always made me very
nervous.
Well,
the ashes at least come back in. I mean, like, yeah, don't do it. Well, don't smoke in your car. That's gross.
I mean, don't smoke.
Don't smoke, but people don't even smoke. You see people
I don't know.
Do the vapes in the car all the
yeah.
time. I know. I say smoking is it's a bad habit that I wish was healthy so I could do it all the time.
What's weird is you and I, and not proud of this, both used to smoke, but yeah. we've never smoked around each other.
Nah, I...
Because like, we both quit before that.
I never had a habit.
Oh, okay.
Like, I smoked...
I did.
There was, like, a couple of years in college where I'd smoke a lot. I guess maybe 3 or 4 years in overlapping with life after college. But I always told myself, like, if this stops being enjoyable, then I'm going to stop. Because mm-hmm. then if you're still doing it, you're not enjoying it.
That's how Joe feels about nose picking.
Yeah. And so, like, I was like, eh, this is gross. I'm always like, you know, it worsens my hangovers. You know, it
does
makes
it?
Me... Yeah. If
Just
I,
feeling like all dried out.
If I've had a lot of cigarettes while drinking... Like, I've had a night of lots of partying and drinking, and I smoked a lot of cigarettes. My hangover was always worse. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But then I would still smoke from time to time with friends if we went drinking. So it's not like I just quit cold turkey. But then, I don't know. Like, yeah, I guess after I got... Well, what happened was once we started seeing each other, I stopped having any fun. So there was no reason to have a cigarette.
Right, and it was like a cross addiction, right?
Yeah. It was cigarettes like, when I'm having fun, I'll bum a smoke off of somebody. And that just stopped.
Yeah.
Just completely.
So does everyone pick their nose? Everyone does,
I
right?
often wonder.
Because growing up, I felt so much shame. Like, the shame that I think some people feel about masturbation is yeah. how I felt about picking my nose as a kid. Like, I felt, like, deeply embarrassed and deeply ashamed of it. But then I've come to find out as an adult, I feel like, think everyone does this.
It's like...
Because you can't get it out, all of it out otherwise.
Okay. So, first of all, I think it was, like, picking your nose and eating it.
Ew.
Was the thing that was stigmatized. Rightfully so. You shouldn't eat your boogers.
I think just picking your nose is kind of
Excuse
stigmatized.
Me.
Okay.
If you pick your nose and then it's, like, a big old thing... That's fucking disgusting. So do it in private. It's like, but I kind of feel like it's like when you chew some meat, but you can't chew it all.
Oh, the gristle?
And you got to get it out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You don't just like pull it out of your mouth and show the table. You're discreet.
Mm-hmm.
I think with picking your nose, it's like you got to be discreet, but it's such an efficient way to get like a hard, painful, like rock out of your nose. Like you can't always just blow it out mm-hmm. with... So you got to like, you know,
get on up in there.
You got to get all up in there, you know, but you just got to be, you know, discreet about it. That's all. You don't want people to see it.
No, but I'm saying, does everyone pick their nose in private?
Well, I would love to know if anyone doesn't, because how then are you, were you just tolerating the painful fucking, I get these painful, like, rocks are like needles.
Ouch. I don't think I get that.
Yeah. And you know, like when it's like dry outside
yeah.
or something. And fuck, I'm not going to endure that.
Sometimes nor should you have to.
I'll just go in
the bathroom
or the bedroom. I'll I'll pick it out and I'll wipe it on your clean underwear so you don't see it.
Thank you.
You know? And that's that. What were you going to say?
I'm sorry. I just...
Someone's
not...
vomiting. Some people cannot handle this kind of talk.
I normally can't handle
it.
I know.
It's pretty nasty.
But I have one thing to say, and then I'll keep it vague. I had the most satisfying nose blow. You know how, like... No, I'm not going to even compare it to anything. I had the most satisfying nose blow the other day. I woke up, and I was like, I feel congested. And I just went... And everything, I mean, I blew a little harder than that, but it wasn't like, oh, I have to keep blowing my nose or anything. Just everything just like, boom. It just, everything cleared out all at once. I've never hawked up a loogie in my life because I find it so disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually feeling icky talking about it.
It's pretty gross.
But I think a loogie came out of my nose.
Well, life tip, there's a, you can get saline nasal spray. Or this stuff called Air, A-Y-R. And if you don't want to pick your nose, mm-hmm. or like me, I don't do it as much because it's like that you know, my nose gets dry and then it's easy to get a nosebleed or something. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to do it. So I got that stuff, and it really, you don't really have to. You, what you can do is spray that. Mm-hmm. It kind of loosens it, and then you can just blow it out. So that is
an option.
Something I do more as I get older, just because it's like.
Does your nose feel highly self-conscious now? Sort of like when you talk to someone about eye contact and then you're like very aware of your eyes. Like, I'm very aware of my nose right now.
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
I have high nose awareness right now. Mm. My nose awareness is through the roof. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you come down on La La Land? Because I was listening to it while I was in the shower and I was trying to remember if you hate it.
No, I liked it.
Okay.
I mean, I understand the criticism of it. There's kind of this annoying, like, to me, annoying criticism of it, which is like, oh, you know, these white guys explaining jazz. Like, I get that, but can we all just have, can we just enjoy things? Like, okay, does everything have to be seen, like, through the lens of, you know,
race
and privilege. Like, I'm not saying that that's not important, but fucking hell, you know, like it's just a story, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I say that, and I'm like, one of the things I'm trying to do, well, wait, am I trying to do one thing I have done for the last years is swallow all of my urges to be critical of art products.
Mm.
Because I just don't want to bum people out who like things, you know. I'll still do it from time to time, but it's like, you know, like after I saw Barbie, I want to talk about this, you know, but it's like, the people like that movie.
Yeah.
Why?
Your son liked that movie.
They don't want to hear from me, you know, shitting all over it. So I understand, you know, look, I get it, but I liked La La Land. The music's good. And it was sweet, and like
it was wistful and sweet.
But that story of like, I don't know, it was like, I felt it was really heartfelt and true about, there's something true about what it was saying about relationships. And
yeah, I would like to see it again.
Yeah.
And now the other celebrity thing that we need to talk about. Hmm. We talked about Anne Hathaway on the most recent show with Emily Fleming and Jordan Morris, because I came across a clip of her She comes off
You're wading back into the Hathaway waters.
I am. She comes off so mean in the clip. And so then I posted the clip on Instagram and I asked people, do you feel like this is healthy boundaries or yikes? And so it's like 50 something to 40 something. More people feel like it's healthy boundaries. And so many people have said to me that they think that she had every right to do this and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And then someone else who feels like me, though, is like, no, everyone just hates the media. I'm like, yeah, I think it's that. I think it's like everyone's happy to watch someone shit on an interviewer. And as an interviewer, I don't like that.
And those are the people saying she has healthy boundaries?
Yeah, because I think there's a difference between healthy boundaries and healthy boundaries expressed in an incredibly mean way.
I find it hard to know with that clip because we just don't know what came before.
Right.
And we don't know the context.
And in the clip, the interviewer, they're on the red carpet and the interviewer says, did you talk to Anna Wintour about Devil Wears Prada or something like that? And then she says, yes. And then the interviewer says, anything you care to share about what she said? And then Anne Hathaway goes, why would, and she's like doing, like laughing, but not in a funny way. Not in a like friendly way. Like, well, why would I tell you? And then the woman goes, because I'm a fan. And she goes, I know, but you weren't there. It just comes off so bitchy. Maybe yeah. accidentally bitchy. But then also there's, you know, that clip of her going, calma.
Mm-hmm.
She comes off horribly there too, I think.
So you are coming down on Anne Hathaway as a bitch.
I think she might be. I don't know. I don't know if the question is, am I picking up on something real or am I not picking up on something real?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I get a sense that there's that it's not authentic.
Yeah.
But
we know. So we found out, we haven't heard the whole story yet, but we know someone who knows her. And has had good, not Jordan. Jordan Morris has had good experiences with her. She said, "Hi, I'm Annie." Then we know someone else who was friends with her and said she's nice, but this person was like in a position where they were kind of in power.
She would be nice to them.
Yeah. The question is, how does she act towards people that she doesn't have to be nice to?
I think not well. My feeling isn't even that she's a bitch. Like, maybe she is. My feeling is that there's like she's evil. There's like an evil side. There's a dark side.
That's what I'm picking up on in that clip.
Yeah.
It was like mean girl.
But just like a... She's not exactly the persona that we think she is. That's my sense. That this isn't... She's playing a role. That's my sense. But I could be wrong. Some of these celebrities do that and some don't. I don't know.
Like, there are people who feel like it's fair season. Is that...
Open season?
What is happening to me?
I don't know.
Like, it can be open season on just shitting on people who are at a lower station than you are in life. And yeah. I just think, what if she's one of those? And I think that's like a pretty evil kind of
right
trait.
Yeah. But hard to say. People you wouldn't suspect of being terrible people are terrible people.
Are you going to name names?
No. But like, I've seen people go like, oh, that I know that person's good. And I know, and then I will read that thinking, oh, I actually know for a fact that that's not true. Like,
right.
That person is a shitty person.
Yes, we don't know this about Anne Hathaway.
We don't know.
This is speculation. It's important that we get to the bottom of it.
There are celebrities that I know are shitty that have a squeaky clean, good guy or good gal persona.
I don't even know who you're talking about. I'm excited to find out off mic.
And then there are some that people don't know but are secretly amazing, like, or secretly just really good people. Like, like, I'll just say, like, Jimmy Kimmel. Like, you might think he's kind of a jerk just because of he plays pranks on people, whatever. But from everything I've heard, is like genuinely just a great guy, just like quietly a great guy, and you know. So you just never know, is what I'm saying.
You just never know.
What's being presented to you, it's all a ruse. It's all a big fake out.
Speaking of entertainment.
Yeah. 227 is the place to be with Marla Gibbs and her family. Why did that come up?
Because I was looking for a clip, and this is what I found. So anyway... My giant news. I was thinking maybe I should save it for Patreon.
Oh my God.
Do you even know what it's going to be?
You can't tease it and then.
I know.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's going to be? Do you have a guess?
Giant news. Did you buy a new robe?
Tony, do the air horns again when I say giant news. No, it's giant news.
New pillowcases?
Well, you didn't leave a space for Tony to put it in. Let's do it again. Actually, Tony, leave all this in, actually. No, I have giant news.
What does that mean?
Now you can ask your dumb pillowcase question. Oh, I did buy new pillowcases. Yes, I did.
Well, I don't know. What's giant news to you? Like, all you do is nap.
You already know.
Giant news. There's nothing new in your life. What could it possibly be?
Keep going. This is amusing. Go through my day. What kind of things do I do in the day?
You found your glasses? That was a big thing. I see you wearing them, so you found them. Is that what it was going to
no,
be?
No, they were in there, in the case on my desk, which I never put them in the case, so it was very surprising.
You're really like you're like, you need to help me find this. This is, I can't find them.
Walk through my day. Maybe you'll come across it.
You get up, you get the boys ready, you go back to bed. You get up, you tell me to do things, and then you go back to bed. You get up again, remind me to do the things that you told me about earlier. You go potty. Did you go potty again? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Then what do I do?
After potty? Oh, you took a shower. Is that it?
No, keep going.
I thought that was it.
I did take a shower, but no.
I don't know.
Just talk out. Talk.
Did you pick some stuff up off the floor?
No, it's still there.
No.
Go through my day. I want to hear more about what I do. And then I want to hear about what I do on a day where I have a show or something.
That's the kind of day I need to walk through?
Yeah, because I just want to hear you explain my day. Okay, so...
You'll scroll on your phone. You sit at your computer. That's it. That's all you do. I don't know what else. Did you clean your desk?
No. Go back. Okay, so I...
Yeah, give me a hint.
I go potty. Yeah. And then what?
You go back to bed.
No, I don't go to bed that many times in a day.
What do you do after potty?
Yeah.
I don't know. You think of things that I need to do for you. You put together a to-do list. You wash your face?
No.
You found a new cream for your face.
No.
Does it involve leaving the bathroom? Is it something you do outside of the bathroom?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that you're going to get it. I just want to hear what you think I do in a day.
Well, the potty is often. So it's like, there's not like one thing you do after going to the potty. It's like everything you do is done after going to the potty.
I just want to hear more of my schedule via you.
You paid bills? Honestly, I don't know. I can't think of a single other thing you do.
Okay, what does it look like when it's the day that I have shows?
Well, you shower and you put on your makeup and get dressed. And then you shuffle around the house nervously. And then you record your show. Is there something...
You've left out my nighttime routine.
Okay. Does that have to do with going to bed?
Not really.
Fall asleep in the chair 5 seconds after watching whatever we're going to watch. So I have to watch the same 5 seconds of whatever show 15 times. Honey, I don't have the faintest clue what it is that you could possibly have to announce. So why don't you just announce it?
Though I am young, supple, nubile, and feminine,
yes,
I am menopausal.
Yes.
Isn't this hard to believe? I mean, it's not hard to believe considering that I now carry around a portable fan and I'm having hot flashes and I have to stick my face in the refrigerator frequently and I'm like complaining about the temperature all the time and stuff. But other than that, I was surprised. So
I don't know why you're surprised though. Like, first of all, doesn't it happen around, like it starts?
No, well, the average age for menopause, what I read was the average age is 52, and I'm 48.
You say it's a few years early, but also, like, when the last few egg retrievals we did, we got, like, a tumbleweed and a fucking
a
rattlesnake skull. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
It was barren.
It's true.
So, like, if I assumed it would happen early for you.
Yeah. So, and I have to say, sometime after Owen was born, you said something like maybe you could be hitting menopause, and it really hurt my feelings. And you said something like, I would think you would look forward to it because, like, you don't have to deal with periods anymore. And I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, symbolically, what it means is so much. I'm just not ready. But then when I told my mom, she wrote back, I'm sorry. And I said, I really don't mind at all. For some reason, I'm, like, totally cool with it now. So it started, and I think people who've been listening regularly to the podcast, I mentioned it here and there, like with Sarah Colonna. I was having night sweats, which I'd never had in my life. Like, I'd never sweat that much. But then we adjusted the thermostat, so those went away. And then I started having hot flashes, and not an occasional hot flash. I have multiple hot flashes every evening, sometimes in the day. The thing that I like least about it is, and I didn't realize this, for me, it's very closely tied to my emotions. So if I think of something that's bothersome, or I read something that's a little bit upsetting or stressful, or I feel nervous, or I feel embarrassed, or anything like that, it's like this full body, like, flush. It's like, I remember I went through a phase when I was younger where I would blush so intensely when I was nervous that it was like my whole face turned red. This is sort of the genesis of what I called penis face, mm-hmm. which is where my nose would turn red and expand like, you know, as if engorged. But I haven't had that in a really long time. So I went to my hematologist to check on, Daniel loves my medical stories, and I know everyone does too. Went to the hematologist, that's who, because I had really low iron and I had to get iron infusions last year. So he checks me like every 3 months now, and it's been good. Went to him, and I said, see, I'm having a hot flash now. I said, would it be possible to add a menopause screening while you're in there? And he said, sure. At this point, I thought I couldn't get into my gynecologist until April. So I figured at least I can send him the results, because I was trying to get him to prescribe me something without even seeing me, because I was like, I'm desperate to feel better. Whatever it is, I'll take it, which is different tune than how I've been in the past, because I have endometriosis, they're always wanting me to take hormones. And I didn't like being on the birth control pill. I don't like any of that stuff. So I've always just said no.
Right.
I don't want any of that.
But now
I'm like, if you have to shoot it in my butt, I will take it. Like, whatever it is, because this feels miserable. So got the tests. And then he was able to see me the very next day, not knowing I had taken the test or I had the blood test results. So came in, I handed them to him, and he goes, yeah, that's menopausal.
Wow.
He said, you just have like no estrogen. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So you're just what, like all testosterone?
I'm a dude. I don't know.
Does it mean like you just don't have any hormones going on, or you just have like...
So my estrogen is below 15. Like, it's like so low they haven't measured it exactly. It's just barely there. My luteinizing hormone. Do you remember luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone? Those are things that were frequently measured during IVF. That's a measure of how hard your body is pushing the gas to make it happen, that you create an egg or whatever. And those are like sky high. So my body is desperately.
Oh, interesting. Like, your body is like, what's going on here? There's nothing left to.
Yeah, there's no gas or something, I guess. They're going to check my testosterone. They're going to check all of it. But because it's weird. He wasn't saying perimenopause, which is the phase before menopause. He was saying menopause. Yeah. And then at the end I said, so am I in menopause? And he said, well, technically menopause is after when you haven't had your period for a year. And I had one this year. So.
Yeah, I guess that's why it's confusing, because you did just have a period recently.
So I guess it's perimenopause, but my levels are
menopausal.
Yeah. But the good news is I don't care. I'm like, Eva, I was talking to your mom and she was saying that she grieved a bit. As far as I'm aware, like, I'm not grieving. Like, I, and you hear about women in their 60s or 70s being like, and I guess a little bit in their 50s, being like, I have no more fucks left to give. I'm ready for my no fucks era, Daniel. I think I'm heading into it. Except
I'm not. I would like you to have some fucks to give.
Except, what if the reason I feel this way is because I'm hormoneless? What if when I, because they are prescribing yes. me stuff. I have to go back next week for more blood tests just to make sure it's like totally safe to give me all this stuff. But then I'm slapping that estrogen patch on and I'm taking the stuff at night. And what if once I have the hormones again,
just start caring about stuff.
I have more fucks to give.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked being fuckless.
I don't know that you...
Because emotionally, I'm not having a problem. Except I do sometimes walk around feeling like I'm having intense PMS and like things are bothering me. But in general, I'm not having the mood swings mm-hmm. that you hear about with menopause. Mm-hmm. I'm just having the physical sensations that are miserable. I'm worried a little bit that once I'm pumped full of those hormones again, then I'm going to be like moody and sad. But I guess if that happens, I change what I'm on.
I forget if it was This American Life or one of those thinky NPR shows had an episode where they, it was somebody who had, a guy who just had no testosterone.
Mm.
I forget what it was. He had some disease or something. Excuse me.
Was he a good podcaster?
He described what it's like. And it was essentially, from what I remember, like you just the color drains from the world and you just don't have any, you just don't care about anything. There's no, you don't have, you don't want anything, nothing. You don't, it's just all of the, like,
that's so interesting.
The
like not
drive and the, your will is sapped, which I experienced on when I was depressed.
Yeah.
But I think it was a slightly different kind of thing. So it'll be interesting, for you to get back on a healthy level to see if that changes anything for you. Maybe, you know, you'll be motivated to help me get the house in order. You know what I mean?
I did announce that it's time to clean out the closet.
Figuratively?
No, I mean literally.
One interesting thing, guys are obsessed with testosterone, you know.
I think you call it T.
Right. Guys are just very, very insecure. Like, oh, you know, got to get your T level up. I have low testosterone. That's why I'm not alpha enough, whatever. But actually, and then they'll be like, you'll hear on the right, you know, people call you the soy boy. Mm-hmm. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Because I think that like there was some, it came out, it's actually since been debunked, but like that eating soybeans or something in soybeans that increases your estrogen levels.
Yes.
And so it's like, so all these alpha dudes, they like stay away from soy milk and they're like, you know, oh, look, all those liberal guys with their soy latte, like as though that like makes you more of a woman.
Right.
But in bodybuilding, when you're bodybuilding, you want your body to be in a anabolic state, meaning like your body is in the best state to create more muscle, and your body gets into a better anabolic state the higher your estrogen level is. You actually, that the estrogen is important. If you want to be that guy, you want to be that alpha gorilla dude, you actually need high estrogen levels. And I think that that's really interesting because I also believe that men need to have a very like healthy feminine side in order to be more masculine psychologically. So for that to be reflected in our hormones as well, just makes me feel more correct and more kind of always right about things, which is really where I'm going with this. You rock. Thank you. So what's happening now?
I'm trying to find something to drive this home.
Look at my balls.
Hang on. I'm just getting warmed up.
Nice try, fatty.
That's a little hurtful.
Hey. She fucking hates me.
Well, I don't know that I hate you. So wait, why couldn't they give this guy testosterone?
Well, they ultimately did.
Oh.
So then it was like turning the volume back up in his life. Anyway.
There's a line in Macbeth where Lady Macbeth says, I think she's like wanting to be strong and to be able to carry through, you know, their plan. And she says, unsex me.
And what do you think she means by that?
I think like take out her femininity and the things that would make her.
You mean ungender me? Excuse me.
I guess so. So anyway.
That's interesting.
I think that I have been unsexed.
Like, make me more masculine. Masculine. Is what
yeah. I'm going to look it up. Tony, tighten this. And then also all the pauses when I was playing the Daniel drops, tighten those too. Lady Macbeth, unsex me here. Okay.
I've heard that.
That she was in menopause?
I've heard the Coen. I guess it's not a Coen brothers, right? Isn't it just Joel Coen?
I don't know.
But the one that came out recently with Denzel Washington is great. I've got to watch it.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Oh, Macbeth. The Macbeth.
Oh, wait. Are we allowed to say Macbeth when doing a podcast? I know you're not allowed to do it in the theater, but
yeah.
What is this? This isn't theater exactly.
This is a podcast.
Do we observe the rules of theater?
I don't think so. Oh, should we call it the Scottish play?
And do we leave a light on in the middle of the studio?
You know, I didn't know about that until Bobby Moynihan's wife, Bryn, explained that to us.
Yeah, we saw it in action.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Okay. It's hard to find it, like, in context. All I found is unsex me here.
Okay.
Lady Macbeth on sex. How are we doing time-wise?
I don't know. What?
Okay, here we go. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Are you looking for, like, meanings?
I'm looking for the...
The quote.
Yeah.
There aren't half a dozen things that come up?
You would think, but...
I feel like there's lots of Shakespeare...
Uh-huh. The raven himself is hoarse that croaks the fatal entrance of Duncan under my battlements. I mean, the raven himself is hoarse that croaks.
But from crowing for his entrance. Like he's been crowing so much, he's hoarse.
What is that? Under my battlements? What does that even mean?
Read it again.
The raven himself is hoarse that croaks the fatal entrance of Duncan under my battlements.
So, you know, the raven being a harbinger of death. So she's like, you know, his
like a lot.
This the announcement of this doom is
right.
So loud. It's right. Causing the raven to go hoarse.
Come, you spirits that tend on mortal thoughts, unsex me here and fill me from the crown to the toe, top full of direst cruelty.
Oh,
make
yeah.
thick my blood, stop up the access and passage to remorse that no compunctious visitings of nature shake my compunctious visitings of nature. Was that periods? shake my fell purpose, nor keep peace between the effect and it. Come, thick night, and pall thee in the dunnest smoke of hell, that my keen knife see not the wound it makes, nor heaven peep through the blanket of the dark to cry, hold, hold.
Right. So she's saying that the feminine part of her is the empathy.
Right.
And don't let, she's trying to
turn
sure
me into like
no,
a fighter.
There's no part of her
that will doubt
that
it.
Feels anything about what she's about to do.
Yeah.
Any sympathy for the victim
right.
that would slow down what she needs to do, right?
And I'm just saying, I have no fucks left to give. I have been unsexed. And
you've basically been unsexed towards me. Like, you, no more empathy. No more. You have depressed the foul nature of thine
husband. No, but like, you know how I've been just, you know how I can't stop getting into it with people on threads? Although, if you've noticed, I have stopped because it just,
yes.
It's lost
its
luster.
Yeah, it's
well,
much.
It's like, I feel like I'm fighting with people who are like in QAnon or something. They have all these structures erected so that they're not open to hearing you. They're kind of just going on a script. But So I don't do it very much anymore, but I was for a while. What if that correlated to the moans?
Or maybe like the levels like became higher on the T than the E, and that made you more combative, because it was uncharacteristic of you.
I know, it was.
Yeah.
What if I take the hormone replacement and then I can't write my Substack anymore and fight with people on Threads?
No, you'll find yourself wanting to do more, I think.
We'll see. Apparently I'm supposed to sleep better too, so maybe I won't have to go back to bed like 600 times during the day.
Something's wrong. Something's definitely wrong.
Thank you.
Do you have another call?
Couldn't it just be that I enjoy the feel of the bed?
Everyone enjoys the feel of the bed, honey.
I enjoy it more than anything else.
I think that you're a little more exhausted than most people are generally on a moment-to-moment basis.
Well, we discovered there was a reason. I was, like, deeply anemic.
Right.
And now I'm just lazy.
Well, you are lazy, too. Laziness is something you are.
Yeah.
Weston and Daniel, this is Missy from Fort Collins, Colorado. Everything's going fine. I was calling to let you know that my favorite drop is Touch the Tushy, and it's even my text tone, and it has been since 2016 when I finally traded in my flip phone for an iPhone, and I remember being absolutely incensed that they didn't offer me cash back for my flip phone. Hope you guys are doing great. This is Missy. Bye.
Thank you, Missy. And I, too, would be incensed over the flip phone. Now, while that was playing, Daniel said to me, "Hey, man," and I don't like they're calling me man now.
I didn't say it.
I know. Didn't we play this already? I don't think we played this one.
Oh, was there another person that was?
Well, do you remember hearing about the flip phone?
Well, I'm only ever paying half attention to anything pretty much ever.
I think it was someone else, but I could be wrong.
I don't know about the flip phone, but I know there was someone talking about the Touch the Tushy.
Me too. And now I'm wondering if we already... Oh, well. You know what?
But hey, Missy, we love hearing from you, even if we already heard from you.
I believe Touch the Tushy is still being sold, so...
Yeah, go
get it. Go get it. Go buy it.
And you know what? And you can also touch the tushy. It's like interactive.
Yeah.
You don't have to just listen to it. Go around touching tushies with consent, of course, with consent.
Yeah.
Do not touch a stranger's tushy without consent.
Right.
Should I do a song about that?
Yes. How would it go?
Don't touch the tushy without a stranger's consent. Content.
Do it better.
I don't want another song made.
I just want to hear it.
Don't touch the tushy without a stranger's consent. Uh-huh. Don't touch the tushy without a stranger's consent. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Don't touch that tushy. You can touch it with your mind, and that is all. The end. I think all songs should
really
end
good.
With the end.
I would love that. Yeah. You sort know, of like how I end my rare voicemails with, okay, bye.
Yes. I do like that. You know how there was an era of popular music where every popular song, they would just repeat the line of the chorus over and over and it just would fade away? That was stupid.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
No, they need a real, the closure.
We should re-record all those songs and just add the end.
Yeah, I like that. So.
Hi, Allison. It's Cole Cabana, professional wrestler. I was going to leave you a fun anecdote about the stuff that you wanted anecdotes about, but I'm kind of busy right now. And in about a half hour, I'm going to go up and wrestle in Joliet, Illinois for Ego Pro Wrestling. Not AEW I wrestle for, but I'm actually not even wrestling. And I figure you can use this and talk about it as much as you want. I'm going to be in an arm wrestling match where it's me versus Frank the Clown. And Frank the Clown is managed by the WWE legend Jimmy the Mouth of the South Hart, who,
nice.
If you don't get that reference, he was also the lead singer of the Gentrys, Keep on Rockin', I believe.
Wow.
Maybe Tony knows that song. Keep on Boppin', something like that. And then I'm going to be managed by the Chicago White Sox mascot. His name is Southpaw. That means he throws lefty. And of course, the whole thing will be refereed by full-time professional arm wrestler Bull. And that's about to happen in a half hour. So I can't really leave anything special. But just let you know that I'm thinking of you right before my big arm wrestling match. Wish me luck.
Good luck,
Colt Cabana.
Colt Cabana. Haven't heard from him in a while.
I know.
Oh, man.
I wonder if he like won a fun his thing. Match.
Yeah. Arm wrestling.
There's so many managers going on there.
A lot of managers. He say Ralph the Mouth.
No.
I recognize the name. That's like a classic.
It was Jimmy the Mouth Jimmy of the South Hart.
Yeah, that's awesome. What a fun event. That arm wrestling, there's a lot of technique in that arm wrestling.
Is there really? That makes sense.
Yeah. You know, it's all about leverage and creating that.
Can you stand up or no? Probably not, right? You have to keep your elbow on the table.
I don't know, the professional arm wrestling, how they do. I know that I think they have a thing they grab with their other hand.
Oh, really?
So you've got a
leverage.
Yeah. And, yeah, I don't know. That's cool. I would like him to wrestle, though.
Me too. We've never seen him wrestle.
I know. We kind of met him. Did he stop wrestling? I mean,
No, I don't think so.
But for some reason, we haven't
seen him
wrestle.
Because it was during pandemic when he had
it was all very strange.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Colt.
Good luck.
We're cheering for you.
I bet it already happened.
Well, my good lucks actually are different than other people's.
Oh.
In that, I have learned to direct them backwards in time.
Oh, that's so good. That's so smart. Is that the DQ method?
Yep. And I'm 100%
method for good lucks.
So I'll watch the Lakers win and I'll just be like, good luck. I'll use my good luck. And it goes back in time and gives them the good luck they needed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. You're really responsible for a lot.
Yeah. Like Biden winning. Did you know that was me? Let's see. Other things?
So many.
So many other things.
So
many
very many.
Too many to list.
If you would like to call in with anything, 323-553-2331. Leave us a voicemail. We won't answer. That's the Allison Rosen promise. Although we're thinking about taking some live calls, actually. But for now, it's voicemails. And also, if you enjoy what you're hearing, make sure you leave a review on the Apple Podcast. Tell your friends. Click 5 stars. Now, normally you would have heard a lot of ads by now. I would have been segueing this way and that way. And my segues are good, guys. Or they were. But there's not a lot of ads anymore. It's pretty thin. I'm hoping it'll rebound. But right now, what that means is I am relying on your direct support. If you like this podcast and would like it to continue, please support the show. Patreon.com/AllisonRosen.
Patreon.
Also my Substack, AllisonRosen.substack.com. Or now on my Linktree, there's a little tip jar at the top. So that's I'm just sitting here with my hand out. But, maybe you're in a position, you're not in a position to do that, in which case I get it. Tell a friend or leave a review or something. But if you do subscribe on Patreon, if you go for an annual subscription, you get 2 months free. Oh, and then also my Patreon that I do with Todd Perry, that is very fun. Allison and Todd After Hours. So you can get to all this stuff, allisonslinks.com. Daniel?
I agree. There's lots of fun stuff on the Patreon. You get the whole community there.
Lately I've been doing roll call, and it started because I was on hold on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's what I'm doing right now. What's everyone else doing right now? So I'm doing roll call. And so then I say what I'm doing, and then everyone lets me know what they're doing. And it's kind of fun. It is nice to know what's going on.
It's like
with
a little
people.
Snapshot.
Yeah.
This is what everyone's doing at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But also there's some bonding that happens, Like, oh, I'm nervous about this thing that's happening, or I'm going on a date, or this, or that, or I got bad news, or I got good news. I'm getting ready to go on vacation, that kind of stuff. Lots of stuff. Everyone's doing stuff.
There you go. Hey, ladies, if you're over 30, have your doctor check your breast cancer. What is that score that you get?
Oh, is this the Olivia Munn
yes,
thing?
Yes, that freaked me out. If you read Olivia Munn's account of what happened... She was totally healthy, feeling fine. On a whim, her doctor was like, I'm going to calculate your score.
It's like your breast cancer risk assessment.
And it was really high. So they're like, you know what? You should just come in because your score is so high.
We should do an MRI.
And you're over 30. MRI. They're like, something's here. Let's do a biopsy. And she had, in both breasts, an extremely aggressive, fast-moving cancer. And if they hadn't just totally on a whim checked, she probably would have died. Crazy. Mm-hmm. So don't take that lightly.
I Googled it. It's like breast cancer risk calculator assessment or something. And my risk is low. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can Google it and look it up. And medical listeners, I'm curious your thoughts on that. This has been delightful.
Thank you. You're talking about me, right?
I was talking about the listeners.
To me as this.
I was referring to the listeners.
My
actually.
My pronouns are this.
And what? That.
That. My pronouns are this.
Daniel, where might
By the way, that is not. I'm not making
I know you're
fun
not making,
of.
No, you're making fun of yourself.
Yes, I love all people and all ways of being. I am kind of like Jesus in that way.
Oh. How many people often say that about you?
People have pointed out the similarities before. I mean, our Lord and Savior. And that's as far as I'm going to go with that.
He kind of had his own Quants method about some things.
some say the New Testament is like the first Quants method. And I didn't say that, but it's an interesting idea.
Do you remember when at PodFest we posed as the Last Supper, and I don't think Al was deeply comfortable with that?
I don't think he liked that very much.
It was a good photo. It was a fun
photo.
I
find myself to not be sensitive enough to people who are
religious
of faith, and that is probably a character flaw of mine.
Oh, you're so humble.
Another thing.
You're so down to earth. My God.
The one difference that has been pointed out.
Oh, between you and Jesus?
I don't like to rub oil on people's feet.
Mm.
So don't expect that from me. It won't happen. But everything else checks out. Oh, I can't perform miracles yet. Although I'm trying. But anyway, you had asked me a question.
Yeah, I just wanted to know where to find you. Is it going to be like
behind your glasses? Well, you'll never find me. You mean the people who are listening?
Should we wait 3 days?
Where can you find me, folks? I feel like anyone who would want to find me has found me. If you're out there and you're not following me on something, admit it. This isn't a mistake. This is a choice you made, and I respect that. But. In case you're wondering, it's Daniel Quants on Instagram, Threads. I don't do Twix.
What's Twix?
Twitter X.
Oh, are they calling it Twix?
Did
you make that up?
I made that up, I think.
Okay, I like that.
I'm on Duolingo.
Can they find you there?
I think so. But
by the way, I didn't do my version of what your day would be, but it would be heavy on the Duolingo.
I've been grinding that Duolingo because it's like there's a competitive element to it. And I forgot about something about myself, which is that I'm highly competitive. And so, like, I want to destroy these fucking nerds. You know, there are these people that get on Duolingo and they just grind and grind, mm-hmm. and they get those points. And it's like, you fucking nerds. And so I just grind harder and I beat them.
It sounds like you are anti-nerd, but I feel like you identify as a nerd, don't you?
No, I do not.
You don't? Okay.
I'm not anti-nerd in the soft sense, the lowercase n. I'm anti-nerd with capital N.
I don't know that I...
I don't know if I'm anti-nerd.
But you're not a jock.
Aren't I, though?
Well, I mean, you kind of have a jock physique right now because you're working out all the time. But I'm just saying, do you think of yourself as like a jock guy?
I have always been friends with the nerds.
Yeah, you're and a friend the geeks. To nerds.
I would say that I have had a foot in the nerd space.
Are you a disruptor?
There's a type of nerd I don't like, though.
What is that? Capital N nerd.
This is too long a conversation for right now. But there is the type of nerd that thinks that they, you know what? This is too big a conversation. I don't want to have to dissect it. Let's just say there are some very obnoxious people who are in the nerd space, you know, and that they think that they're being outcasts gives them some sort of pass for being shitty people. And no, you're a fucking shitty person. Like, you probably deserve to be an outcast. That's not all nerds.
Hashtag not all nerds.
Not all nerds. So don't climb up my ass, nerds. I am half a nerd. I'm like if a nerd and a Jesus had a baby.
You're like Jesus with glasses?
I don't know if you can reach out to me on Duolingo, but people have friended me on Duolingo, and I don't know who they are. So they might be people who've, you know what it might be? It might be people who are follow me on Facebook or something, and then so they know, and then they get it. But hey, regardless, you can see my progress. It's very exciting. I'm on Letterboxd. I have never done anything there, but I will one day. Find me there. Find me.
Daniel. Oh,
God.
I know I opened the door to this question, but I'm trying to shut it.
What other apps do I have? Let's see.
You got Dropbox.
I'm on Facebook. I haven't gone onto Facebook in months.
And follow me on TikTok.
I'm on
Allison
LinkedIn.
Rosen.
I don't do LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a terror site.
And subscribe to me on YouTube.
You really should just follow you, Allison. People should be following Allison. She's more fun. I'm a bore.
Thank you for listening. I love you. You matter. Goodbye.
Hey, do you know about the Allison Rosen Show?